And we're going to hear from God's word in scripture now from 1 Peter chapter 2.
So, get rid of evil behaviour. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours, then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour, and they will give honour to God when he judges the world. For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honour those who do right. It is God's will that your honourable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the King. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, David. Can we put the first picture up from the PowerPoint, please? Okay, here are some stones, and they're all rough. Nobody shaped them. They are just stones, really. And yet, if we have a look at the next picture, stones like that get turned into something like that. It's quite amazing when you go walking sort of out in the countryside around here to see the dry stone walls. These walls were made without any cement. They were just stones, just normal stones, but chosen to fit together very carefully. carefully. And there are walls that are still standing 200 years after they were built because of the skill of the people who were able to take stones and make them fit together properly. And our reading this morning was talking about us as living stones. Living stones that are made to be together. Stones that are made to fit together. We might not think looking at each other as if we do fit together very well. But God's ability to make his church fit together is greater than the skill of anybody who is good at making a dry stone wall. That's one of the reasons that Peter, within this letter that we've been looking at these last Sundays and for the next few as well, sets the bar very high for what he is looking for from the church. You, he says, are being built together as living stones into a temple for God, into a place where people can dwell together. Can we have the next step screen, please? I want just to read this to you now. This is a poem that somebody wrote based on this idea from 1 Peter chapter 2. And I came across it this week and I really liked it. So let me read it to you today. So many stones, small, large, smooth, jagged, new, old, fitting in to this craggy jigsaw body. Different sizes, different shapes, all vital, all part of a bigger picture. Not a construction designed to keep others out, but a welcoming, generous people, a generous temple, a kind of place to call home, a lighthouse, a divine landmark, a place where all varieties of stone may fit together. That's the church. That's who we are. We are born again. We looked at this a couple of Sundays ago. We are born again by the Spirit of God. God brings us life and he puts us together as his family. Peter is saying to these people, I want you to look at what you are doing together. Success as the church is not about each one of us individually being successful. That is of very little importance. What matters is what we achieve together. What matters is how we relate to one another. So Peter stresses this big, big time. And what a fantastic picture, not of a wall, of that picture that I showed you, not of a wall where a group of people all huddling together and trying to keep people out, but of a community that is knit together, built together to welcome people in, a place where people can experience the love of God together. Can we put that off now, please? Thanks. We are called together to be special. We are, Peter says in this reading, a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's special possession. And we have been called, as it wonderfully says in the translation that I've got in front of me here, we are called to be this so that we can show others the goodness of God. That people are to look and to see what God is doing amongst us and to say, that is God. That is God at work there. Of course, there are dangers when we say that we are special. When we think we are special, that might make us feel arrogant. It might make us feel superior. So what I would suggest today is when you hear these words, we are special, take it as a challenge. It is a challenge, as Peter puts it in our Bible reading today, the challenge that we live such good lives before people that they will see the good things that we do and they will give glory to our Father in heaven. It says here, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will believe and give honour to God when he comes to judge the world. You know, people have many different pictures of what the last judgment will be like. Some of them are more shaped by medieval artwork or Renaissance artwork than they are what the Bible actually says. But here is a wonderful picture of the return of Christ that I think hasn't been stressed enough. This isn't God saying, you go to heaven, you go to hell. This is unbelievers looking on. And when Jesus is revealed, when they see Jesus for who he is, and they realize that the church is like Jesus, they will glorify God because they've already seen God at work in us. I know that's a very different way, but that is what I'm pretty sure Peter is saying here. Even if people don't believe a word we're saying down here, the day will come when they have to admit that the church got it right. The day will come when they will have to admit that God sent his son Jesus. And even if now they accuse us of wrongdoing, they're meant to look at us and actually see the presence of God on the earth, because God is living in us and he is enabling us to be this unique, wonderful community together. So our specialness, our chosenness, and the word that's used here for chosen is a word that has this idea of being marked out as special, marked out as most important. This calling that we have to be God's chosen people is Peter saying to the church, raise the bar high. Seek to be the community that God wants you to be. It's not surprising then that this chapter, chapter 2, starts with some very practical instructions. Get rid of all malicious behavior. If there's anything in us that wants to cause trouble for other people, get rid of it. That's not the right behavior for people who have been born again. It's not the right behavior for people who have the Spirit of God inside us, because Jesus isn't out to cause people trouble. Jesus is out to bring to people the love of God. And then it says, no deceit, or to use another word, no trickery. A church that learns to be straight and open and honest in our relationship with each other. No hypocrisy, or as it says in this translation, no more pretending to be good. Say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be good. Lord, not because I want to be special and people think that I'm important, and not even because we want people to think that Mills Hill Baptist Church is special or important. Mills Hill Baptist Church doesn't matter that much. But what matters is the glory and the honour of God. So no hypocrisy, no jealousy. There can't afford to be anything within us that we look on somebody else and wish that we had what they have, because God made that person completely unique. And God made that person, and God loves that person, and God lives in that person. So no jealousy, no envy of other people. No more, well, it says in this translation, backstabbing or perhaps slander. No more speaking badly of other people. No more talking against other folk. Instead, Peter says, crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Now, the word here for the word spiritual is a word that can also be translated as mental. This word is only used a couple of times in the New Testament. So what Peter is saying is, you've come to the Lord, you've been born again, You've tasted that the Lord is good. And I hope all of us here have tasted just how incredibly good, something of how incredibly good he is. If you haven't, let's talk afterwards. But you've tasted that the Lord is good. Now let your thinking be fed. Let the way you are thinking be changed. Learn what it means to think like Jesus. Because God's Holy Spirit is in you. God wants to change you. God's Holy Spirit is in me to change me. We allow him to teach us and to train us so that we can think like he thinks. And if we're going to attempt to be good, we also need to learn to think good. We need to learn to think well. We're called to be holy. We're called to be different. Called to stand out within the world. So the things that we do in church, where we seek to be family together, where we seek to talk to one another, where we seek to understand one another, where we seek to pray for one another, when we seek to support each other, that's what God calls us to do. That's what being a Christian believer is about. That's what holiness looks like. And we come to Jesus, who is the cornerstone. And the picture that Peter is making here says, you've got to imagine that people are building this house. And this is, you know, there's no cement. You've got to build it with dry stones. And the skill in building that house is the skill of getting all the different shaped stones together. If you can do that, you can build the house. And the builders who are building the house, and by God's house here we mean the temple, the place that God dwells. The builders who are building this house, they try to build up this stone. And there is one stone that they reject. There's one stone that they say did not fit. But they get to the point, they need the capstone, the cornerstone. They need the one that holds everything else together. And they find to their utter astonishment that the stone that holds everything together is the one that at the beginning they had rejected as being no good. So what Peter is saying here is Jesus was rejected. Most people at the time of Jesus looked at Jesus and they said, Jesus isn't the way. Jesus isn't how to do it. And then God starts to build his temple. And Jesus is the one who perfectly draws God's people together so that we can be God's dwelling place. It's not just about being nice to one another. It's not just about being kind to one another. It's about us creating a dwelling place for the living God. And we are special because we know Jesus. And only those who believe in Jesus can create a community with Jesus as the cornerstone. Other groups can produce good community. There are other places you can go to and you can get a sort of experience of family. But it is up to the church to testify and to act out what Jesus can do, to show that Jesus is the one who holds everything together. God says, I'm placing a stone in Jerusalem, a chosen cornerstone, and anyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. And in this temple that God is building, we're called to be his priests. We're called to stand between a God and a world that doesn't know God. We bring God the praise that he is due. We bring God the prayers for the world. And we show to God, we show to the world rather, who this God really is. A chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And it's all wrapped up in the mercy of God. It's all wrapped up in that starting point where we meet Jesus and we say yes to him. That point where we realize that Jesus died upon that cross for us. That moment that we realize that God did that for our salvation. And hopefully also the moment when we realize that we haven't been saved as individuals, but we are called to be family together. Perhaps this morning, all this stuff about church, some of you are thinking church and temple, you're thinking that's way beyond me. Perhaps for some of us this morning, it's about going to the starting point and it's about saying, I put my faith in Jesus. It's about saying, I believe. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised him, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And perhaps for some of us this morning, it is about actually saying, yep, that's me. I'll confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart and we accept the salvation that he offers. That's the starting point. And at that moment, we receive the mercy of God. At that moment, God treats us in a way that we don't deserve. And from that day on, we're saved from ever having to justify ourselves. We're saved from ever having to prove that we're good because we know we're not good. We know we've received mercy and we know that anything good that's happened to us actually has come from God in the first place. And in his mercy, he brings us together. And in the church, we learn to wage war against the things that war against us. So we're special. We're different. Next week, we're going to start looking very practically about the life that we live in the church and how we take that life out into our day-to-day lives. Peter has got an awful lot he wants to say about that. He's very concerned that the church puts the right face to the world. But that face can't be a pretend face. It's got to be a face that is full of the love and the mercy and the care of God. So we're going to come to God in prayer now. We're going to ask him to enable us to be what this passage of Scripture says that we are and says that we can be. So let's come to God in prayer. Father, we do read incredible things in Scripture. The idea of us being a chosen people and a royal priesthood and a holy nation sounds wonderful. And Lord, it's what you declare we are. So, Father, we pray for this Christian community this morning that dares to call itself by the name of Jesus. We pray that today you will fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that we will know your mercy in each one of our lives today. We pray you would enable us to put aside things that are harmful and things that are destructive. And Father, we pray for us, not because we're different or better than any other church, but because we are part of your church and because to some extent the reputation that you have is upon us. Father, we pray that we will be able to lead godly lives when we're together, when we're apart, and at all times. And Lord, now, as it says in the Bible reading today, we cry out for the nourishment that you give us. This nourishment that will get our minds right. This nourishment that will enable us to live the lives that you call us to live. So, Father, come and nourish us. Come and supply what we need. Lord, come and transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit. For we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.